Okay, I'm going to pray and then we're going to look at God's word. Our Father, thank you for this day that we've had and just what we've had so far, being able to come together and to sing praises to you. And you are the great God who is in our presence right now. And we thank you so much for how we come with joy in our hearts because we are so loved by you and cared for. And we thank you for the great things that you have done. And I think of today the great gift of your Son to us, but also the great gift of your Spirit. I thank you so much for this day we call the Day of Pentecost. And as we look at things about the Holy Spirit this morning and tonight, I ask that you would really minister to our hearts. Thank you that all these great things you've done for us, these great gifts, have always been from your beautiful heart towards us, a heart of love, a heart of care. And I just thank you now for the scriptures we'll be looking at, and we ask that you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, so today is the day of Pentecost, which means it's the anniversary of the day when Christ's glorious church was born. The church had a day when it was born. And that coincided with the coming of the precious and most powerful Holy Spirit into the lives of those first believers. And even though I'll be looking at these things more tonight, I'm going to read to you from Acts chapter 2. So in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, we read, "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues or languages as the Spirit was giving them utterance." And later on we read about what they were declaring, the mighty deeds of God in other languages. And that's how the church was born. The mighty Holy Spirit came upon them so suddenly, so spectacularly, and it's so significant what happened. And you've got to remember, just picking up on a few things, the Spirit of God coming upon those first believers caused them to have loosened tongues to declare God's praises, having warmed hearts to worship the Lord and having open minds where they could now really understand what the cross of Jesus was about and the mighty resurrection. What a day when the Holy Spirit came in such awesome power. And all this happened according to prophecy. God had prophesied in the Old Testament that the Spirit would come, that he would come upon all those who believe. And Jesus also spoke about this wonderful promise of the Father. And I'm going to start off this morning, before I get into other things, looking at John chapter 20 and looking at Jesus' words. Now, these are his words on the very first day when he rose from the dead. And we'll see him speaking about the Holy Spirit. So turn to John 20 with me, verses 19 to 22. John 20, 19 to 22. "So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" I've got to pause every now and then as I read this. Peace be with you. What do you think of those words? They are just full of grace. Those disciples had deserted Jesus in his hour of need. And when the women had told them that Jesus was alive, they would not believe. What grace comes from his mouth when he sees them and says, "Peace be with you." What a Jesus who overlooks all our rottenness and still loves us to bits. "Peace be with you," he says. And then he said to them, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Oh, let me keep reading. "And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side." That's verse 20. "The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.'" And friends, I reckon what we read there is like so powerful in regards to what we are meant to be doing here on earth. The Father sent the Son and Jesus sends us. Where? Where did the Father send the Son? Into the world. With what? The gospel. And Jesus sends us into our world with the gospel, that we might speak of Jesus and shine Jesus to those about us. And then in verse 22 we read, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" So there it is. On the very first day of the resurrection of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is mentioned. And it's interesting what Jesus says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And you would know that that actually didn't happen right then and there. That happened 50 days after. Pentecost, Pente means 50. 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, the Holy Spirit would come. So why did he say that? Because he was getting them ready when he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Getting them ready for the Spirit's coming. It's interesting that that's what Jesus said too when he took the bread and said, "This is my body given for you." He actually didn't give his body right then and there, but the next day on the cross, he was getting them ready. And so he was when he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And not only that, did you pick up what he did? He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Breathed on them. I wonder what the disciples made of that. I hope, I'm pretty sure, being Jewish people, they would have understood that was a picture going right back to the creation account, to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where it says, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." And so Jesus breathed on them, reminding them of the creation account, God breathing into the first man the breath of life, giving him physical life. And the picture here is that just as the creation came forth from the breath of God into Adam, the picture here is that the Holy Spirit would come and be breathed into our lives to give us what? Not physical life, but spiritual life, eternal life, abundant life, fullness of life. And I love in the Hebrew that the word used is ruach, and ruach is used for both wind, breath, and spirit. Do you know that? So when we think about these things, Jesus is saying the wind of God would come on you followers, the breath of God would breathe life, spiritual life into you, and the Spirit of God would come and bring blessing to you and cause a new creation to spring forth. A new creation. God was recreating. A new creation came forth when the church was born, when the Holy Spirit came and breathed life into everyone who loves and trusts in Jesus. Pretty exciting day. Can you imagine how God felt in heaven? He created the world by breathing life into humans, and now he was going to breathe spiritual, eternal and abundant life into all those who love and trust in Jesus. And that all happened some 2,000 years ago, but it happens today. It happens today when any one of us repent of our sins and receive Jesus. We straight away receive the same Holy Spirit who's able to give us life and breath. And that's in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, Peter said, "Repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive something." What is it? You shall receive the Holy Spirit. I hope you've received the Holy Spirit by turning to Jesus and trusting in him, by repenting of your sins and receiving Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. So friends, what an awesome day it was. Here we are at church. We're just sitting back here listening, but it was such an exciting day when the church of our Lord Jesus was born, when the Holy Spirit came to dwell in us. It was the greatest blessing you could think of, only eclipsed by the blessing of Jesus giving his life for us. And I know we speak a lot about Jesus laying down his life for us, and we should, and his mighty resurrection. But never forget the incredible blessing it was when God gave his Holy Spirit generously and fully to all those who love his Son. And I want to spend the rest of our time looking at the wonderful blessings that come upon us when we have the Holy Spirit. And I've got 3 points I want to look at: the Spirit's presence, the Spirit's purpose, and the Spirit's power operating in our life. These are incredible blessings. So to look at the Spirit's presence, I want to turn to our Bible reading now, to John chapter 14, and we'll be looking at a few verses there. Now, these words were spoken by Jesus on the night that he would actually be arrested. And he taught a lot about the Holy Spirit in this section. And I want to just say to start off before I read any of this, Jesus knew that he was going away. He was going home. And what I love about this section is that he was concerned for something. Do you know what he was concerned about? Not himself. He was concerned for you. He was concerned for us. He knew that he would be leaving and going to heaven, leaving us alone, leaving us in a world, even back then as it is today, a world that's hostile to us. Let me read to you the other next chapter, John 15, verses 18 and 19. Jesus said in John 15, 18 and 19, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you're of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." That's such strong language. But it's true. And he knew what was going to happen to every believer from the beginning of the church right up to the 21st century. We're not going to be liked. We're going to be maybe tolerated. Now we've gone in our society from toleration to be put down. That's how it is. Jesus knew this. And so his great concern was this: I don't want you to be on your own. And the Father had a good plan in regards to that. The sending of the third person of the Trinity, none other than the Holy Spirit, into the lives of all those who love Jesus. So now let's read John 14, verse 16. So in John chapter 14, verse 16, the words of Jesus, he says to his disciples, just before he's arrested, it's going to happen very soon after all this, he says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever." So Jesus is saying to them, "I'm going to ask the Father," and Jesus' prayers always get answered. And so this something is going to be given to the disciples. He will give you. And the language here is just spectacular. "I will give you another." In the Greek, the word for another is the same kind of other, not a different kind of other. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm going to ask him, he's going to give you a helper like me, just like me. And it says here that he will be with you when? Forever. Wow. He's going to be with you forever. Not just when you're going good. Not just when you're in church. In all your ups and all your downs. In all your doubts and all your dismay. The Holy Spirit will be given to you forever. That should blow your mind away. What an incredible gift. Jesus would make sure that we would not be left alone. Not ever. Not even when we sin. Not even when we go astray. Not even when we wander off. The Holy Spirit will always remain with us because Jesus' desire was, you're not going to be left alone. You're not going to be left alone. Wow. And then we come to verse 17. And we find out very clearly who this helper is. That is the Spirit of Truth. That is the Spirit of Truth. And in verse 26, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." So we know that this helper is the Holy Spirit. He's the one who comes to dwell in us. And at the end of verse 17 of John 14, it says, "He abides with you and will be in you." I love that language. He will abide with you, make his home with you, and will be in you. And this is why, as Christians, we make a big thing about how, when we turn to Jesus, we have the joy of being personally and intimately connected with God. We have a personal relationship with God. And how does that happen? Not just by having knowledge, not just by knowing about the gospel, but when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, we are connected forever to our God. It is personal, it is intimate, it is the best thing in all the world. In all the world. The presence of the Spirit in our life. In John 14, verse 23, I'm going to read a few more verses. It says there, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode or home with him. The language is so amazing. God will make his home in you. How personal is this? How beautiful, how real is the presence of the Spirit in our life? What grace to us sinners. Do you understand that? What grace. Let's remember what is being spoken of here. The Holy Spirit coming to dwell in very frail and broken people. People who still sin and go astray. This is the second greatest act of grace by God. The first greatest act of grace by God is Jesus, dirtied with our disgusting sin, bearing our sin and shame so that we can be forgiven. What grace! But what grace when God's Spirit was given to us to come into this being, to come into your being and to live in us. What grace! And then going back to John 14, verse 18, we read, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. What a beautiful verse. Jesus is saying, your family, I'm in heaven, the Father's in heaven, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. How is that possible? Because the Spirit of God will come to dwell in you. And because of the Spirit of Jesus dwelling in us, and he's also called the Spirit of the Father, we actually have the Father with us. We have the Son, our older brother and Saviour with us. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. It's so true. We are not orphans. God is still with us all through the days, through every day. Wow. I just love these things. And when I think about these things, the Spirit's presence, what a blessing it is, I want to flip over to John 16, verse 7. And it says there, in John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. And I could easily say there, oh no, stay here forever, Lord. But Jesus said, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Wow, so Jesus is saying, it is better for me to go. Because then my Spirit can come to dwell in you. And so can I, and so can my Father live in you forever and ever. I want you to behold how amazing the blessing is of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. It is phenomenal. The Holy Spirit present in you is everything. But now let's move on to look at the Spirit's purpose. And there's many purposes the Holy Spirit was given to us for, all for our blessing, for our benefit. But we've already come across one, and that's in John chapter 14, verse 16. So I'm going to read that again. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Now, in the Greek language, the word used for, in my translation, helper, is the word parakletos. And parakletos is a beautiful picture word. It means the one caught alongside to. And this is where our English translations vary. The one called alongside to help. Some of us have that. To be the helper or to be the comforter or to be the counsellor or the NIV to be the advocate. And I've got to say to you all those things are true. He's all those things. And this is one of the great purposes of the Holy Spirit. So let me think through this. He has been given, this is his purpose, to help us when we're weak. To comfort us when we're in sorrow and in pain. To counsel us when we definitely need wisdom and guidance. And to be our advocate. To be our advocate. How good is that? He's not just there to be present in your life. He's there to help you and guide you, to bless you, to keep you, to do all these amazing things. I hope you're loving the Holy Spirit, because I do. What a joy it is to actually understand who he is and why he has been given. That's not his only purpose, though. let's now, in John 14, look at verses 25 and 26. So we read there, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." Do you see a purpose there? He has been tasked with a beautiful task, and that is to be our teacher. Our teacher. He is the teacher. He is the one who is able to bring to remembrance all the things that Jesus taught us. He's able to bring to remembrance what we read in the scriptures, and he's able to help us understand all that has been written. Wow, that's a fantastic blessing. And I'm going to read now over in John 16, because this is so important. It's mentioned again by Jesus in John 16, verses 12 to 15. We read there, "I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." I love a verse like that. I thought on overload already. But Jesus was okay with that, because he knew the Holy Spirit would continue his teaching into their lives and into our lives. So verse 13 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you." Here's some amazing teaching by Jesus on the Holy Spirit. He is the teacher. He will lead you into all the truth. All the truth about life, about God, about us, about the things to come. Wow, that's such an important thing to know. And so my question then is, do I put myself in a good place where he can be my teacher? So how do you do that? You come to church. But even more than that, you read the Bible every day. And you pray. A humble prayer. You should pray every time you read the Bible. Lord, please teach me. Please help me to understand your word. And when that is prayed, and you faithfully read the Bible, you do not need to have a Bible college degree. You do not need to be somebody with an IQ of 150. The Holy Spirit is able to teach a child the things of God just from the Bible. Praise his name. He's a teacher. What an important purpose he has in our life. And now I'm going to look at some other verses about his purpose, and that's in John 16 as well. And I'll just go back to John 16, verse 8 to 11. Jesus, again, look at all the teaching he's giving us before he's arrested that night on the Holy Spirit. He says in verses 8 to 11, "And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me, and concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged." Wow, we might not like this to start with. The Holy Spirit has been given with the purpose of convicting us. Woo, that's a good thing. You know, we would never ever come to know Jesus. We would never humble ourselves and bow our knee to Jesus, crying out for him to save me, a sinner, were it not for the work of the Spirit in our life. What a purpose he has to convict us. To convict us of our sins, even our hidden sins. To reveal our desperate need to us of a Saviour. And that work isn't just to bring us to salvation. He also continues that work in the Christian's life. Do you know that work? Whenever you're going astray, whenever you're thinking wrong, whenever you've got wrong attitudes, whenever you've said something wrong, there's so many things we can do so often, and we need to know the Holy Spirit convicting us so that we might repent and maintain a right relationship with God. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Can you say that? Amen. Thank you for convicting me. Thank you for picking me up when I've gone astray and bringing me back. And he also has been given not just to convict us of our sins, but to convict us of righteousness. And it goes two ways here. To convict us that Jesus is righteous, pure and holy, radiant and glorious. And we're not. But we can be clothed with his righteousness. And he convicts us of the judgment to come. We stand condemned with the devil unless we turn to Jesus and trust in him. This is his special work. What a purpose. And I can go on for a fair time actually, but I won't. His purpose is beautiful. It's to help you and comfort you, to counsel, to be your advocate. He's there to teach you and he's there to convict you and draw you back to God every time. Now, when I think of the Holy Spirit, I can't just stop there, sorry about that, because there is another big passage written by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Spirit, where we read about another great purpose, not a purpose, another great blessing of the Holy Spirit. We've looked at the Spirit's presence, the Spirit's purpose. This one is the Spirit's power. So when you think of that Spirit's power, there's a chapter that should come to mind. It's Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is where you've got to turn to. And now let's have a look. We'll finish with these points. Romans chapter 8 in regard to the Spirit's power. So I'm going to start reading from Romans 8, 9 to 11. I feel like reading the whole lot, but I can't stop. No, just read what I need to read. So Romans chapter 8 is one of those big chapters in the Bible. There are many Christians who would say that's their favourite chapter in the whole Bible. Romans 8. I'm going to read it from verses 9 to 11. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. I want to just pause there. None of us are a genuine Christian unless we have the Holy Spirit in us. We must have him in our life. And you will see the evidence of him in your life. That's only when you can say, I have crossed the line. I'm a genuine Christian. All right, verse 10. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And verse 11, here it is. This is a great verse. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Wow, that is just an amazing verse. What a reference. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, tells us that this Spirit that we're speaking of, the Holy Spirit, he's the one who raised Christ from the dead. Think of the power of God to raise Christ from the dead. And then Paul said, he's the same Spirit living in you. The all-powerful Holy Spirit who comes into our life with power. Power to do what? Power to give us life. Power to give us fullness of life. Power to really live for Jesus. And as we go through these next few verses, we're going to see just a part of that awesome power that the Holy Spirit has to be such a blessing to us. So let me read verses 12 and 13. So then, brethren, we're under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Here's something very important about the Holy Spirit's power. The Holy Spirit has the power. You don't have the power. The Holy Spirit has the power for you to defeat something that brings us down so often. What can the Holy Spirit do? He has power to help you overcome sin. Overcome sin. Overcoming besetting sins. Addictions. Learned behaviours. The Holy Spirit is the one who has the power to give you victory. To give you freedom by his awesome power. By this way, he's bringing us into fullness of life. And I want to read this out to you. Christ gave his life to set us free from the guilt of sin. Hallelujah. And Christ gave his Spirit to set us free from the power of sin. God thought of everything. Christ gave his life to set us free from what? The guilt of sin. And Christ sent his Spirit to free us from the power of sin. And many Christians, including myself, we still struggle with sin. And that's because we're not leaning on the Holy Spirit as much as we should to set us free. He's been given to do that by his awesome power. That's something that we need to explore so much more as Christians. And as a result, that's why when we talk about these things, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of our Father, the Holy Spirit, is able to bring real change and transformation into us. And my response to that is, hallelujah, I'm so glad about that. Because I feel beaten up and rotten and failing, and I'm so glad that there's the Holy Spirit's power towards us to help us to be an overcomer. And that means, and that's when all those other verses make sense to me. Like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, which says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. That's not possible. That's just a nothing statement unless you understand the Holy Spirit who brings that about. What a new creation you are. Oh, I can't help but think of the picture of Genesis chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning God created, and it talks about the Spirit of God hovering over the surface of the deep. Everything's dark and void, and he's poised to bring forth a glorious creation. And I think of that because that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is doing in our life. He's poised over you, your darkness, or your shadows, and he's poised at the command of Jesus by his awesome power to bring forth a new creation. Let him. Let him have full reign in your life. Let him change your heart, your mind, everything about you. Learn behaviors, addictions to sin, that he can break it all and set you free. Another great verse I love is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. But we all, with unveiled faces, are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are being transformed from one degree of glory to another, just as from the Lord the Spirit. And that's speaking about that change, making us more like, guess who? More like Jesus. More like Jesus. What power we've been given through the Spirit. And by the Spirit's power, I want to read a little bit more of Romans 8 before I finish. By the Spirit's power, we are assured of our right standing with God and our glorious hope in Christ. By his power, he makes sure that we understand how assured we are of our salvation and how sure our faith, our hope is in Christ. And that comes out in the next few verses. Let me read now Romans 8, 14 to 16. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And I would call this the gentle power. The gentle power of the Spirit. When my heart condemns me, when I feel such a failure, when I feel distant from God, it is the gentle power of the Spirit that affirms to my soul and spirit that I am his. That I am his forever. And I cry out, Abba Father, and he testifies with my spirit that I'm his child, still and forever. What do you think of that power? Overpowering your own negative thoughts, overpowering what other people might say, speaking above over all heads and saying to you, beloved child of the Father, you're loved. This is the ministry of the Spirit. We are assured of our standing with God, if we have the Holy Spirit in us, of course. And the other thing I want to say is, as I keep reading these verses, we are affirmed and assured in regards to our hope In Romans 8, let me read to you now verses 22 to 25. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. We have a glorious hope, and the Holy Spirit affirms that hope to us. And when I think about these things, there's a few verses that just come into my mind, like, what do you make of verses 29 and 30? For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. It's secure. Our relationship with God and our hope in Christ. It's the Holy Spirit who's been given to do that by his beautiful, awesome power. Well, got to stop there. All these verses are in my brain, right? So we've got to just stop there. I just want you to just pause now. And I want you to ask yourself some important questions. Do you know the Holy Spirit in you? At the end of the day, you can't be a genuine Christian unless God's Spirit lives in you. And that happens by truly repenting and fully opening your heart to Jesus. And Jesus will always send his Spirit immediately into your heart. And if we have done that, do we know any of this in our life? Do we know the Spirit's presence? Do we know the Spirit's purposes in our life? Do we know the Spirit's power? This is where every Christian really needs to grow and experience the fullness of the Christian life. We're not just hanging out to get to heaven. Heaven's begun for us already because God is in our life and we're to know all these things. May the Lord bless you and help you. May his church, even at Bazo, be revived. And revival comes from the Spirit having full sway in our life. May that be. And that's what I pray for us all. So now we're going to sing our closing song. And it's a prayerful song about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into my willing soul. I would encourage you to pray it prayerfully. I sing it prayerfully. Please stand. Jesus said, I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And that was fulfilled. Praise the Lord for that. Our Father, thank you for how we come before you now. And on a day like today, I am conscious of the great gift of the Holy Spirit. And I know that it is a great gift indeed, because why on earth would you send your beautiful Holy Spirit into our lives? And yet that's another mystery too, together with the mystery of Jesus coming into our world and dying for us. And all we can make of it is that you really do love us so much. You care for us more than we could ever comprehend. So glad that we're not alone. I know we have each other, Lord, but we have you inside us as well. And we're so grateful for your Spirit's presence and his beautiful purposes in our life and his power to change us. And many of us, Lord, get stuck in our life. There are things that bring us down and we feel trapped. I just want to ask right now that you would set any of us free from any sin or behaviour that has trapped us. We would know the power of your Spirit in setting us free. And that, Lord, we might be a church that is alive, not because of our programs, but because of the Holy Spirit living in us. That you would revive your people. And Lord, I even have to ask this for myself, that you would revive me. Lord, may you be alive in us for the glory of your name, that we might truly shine Jesus to all those about us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.